セガサターンしよう。
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday, hey, Shiro Show.
Happy Friday, baby.
Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Welcome to the show that never goes.
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
Licking toes.
I am good. I am good.
How are you, Pat?
Good.
Good to see y'all.
Licking toes.
I like how you really add to the immersion by like turning your head.
I can totally see both of you here on the couch with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
We're all here in person.
We are.
I can't really reach out and touch.
Couch. No, but that's, yeah. You know, don't reach out too far. That breaks the immersion.
Couch.
We all keep our own personal space here on the couch.
That's right. That's right. If I cough and hack, the magic of the internet means that Dan doesn't actually get any of it on him.
Catch anything? Thankfully. I'm glad about that.
Because he might catch a computer virus. Wah, dad joke.
Sorry,
okay. Okay. How's everybody doing? We got 29
good.
So far. I'm going to do this like a telethon. We need 70. We need 70 viewers
30,
today. You think we could
viewers.
Do that?
If
we normally hit 60. I want to see if we can push 70.
I want 69 viewers.
We're at 20. 69.
69.
I would take 69. That would be
probably help if we all retweet the announcement like me,
yeah.
Like I'm definitely
yeah.
doing right now.
While you're doing that, I will shout who's on. We've got Wiener Bob number one. Yeah, Sega. We got Pudgy Bunny, of course, helping out with the production value on
yes,
Dan's end. We got Christian Marte. We got Dragons of Saturn, Tales of Saturn, Polbort, Analog Black Sheep, Neil Henderson, David Zaney. Stuart Stapleton, shouts to Stuart. I think he just got his Netlink set up and online, so that's cool. Sega guys, James is here. James, is Dan still in Japan? I don't know. Dan in Japan?
Japan.
Thank
we got Nathan Anderson. I already said. Okay, James. Michael Friesch, Tom Fum. Hey, Tom from the UK,
Tom,
watching
Tom.
At 11 p.m. Shouts to you for staying up. Moose Track.
Yeah.
Moose Track is here. Who else? Scotty Mo for show. Executioner is here. We've been chatting with him, all things Saru in the Saru chat. So thanks
he's
for joining
been,
us on the stream.
Starring it up with us.
We've
he's
got
been,
who else? Shadow
great,
Mask,
great
of
Saru.
Course. Our wonderful mod, Shadow
Hello.
Mask, and what else? We got Con Artist as well. Another mod. So we got Shadow, Pudgy, and Con right there, all in a row. Our stable of moderators for YouTube. Shouts to them. Eddie G, Fart Daily, and Ray just showed up. Hey, Ray. Oh, and shouts to Fart Daily. I always make myself laugh when I say that. But shouts to Fart Daily for just completely cleaning up on the Saturn Shiro community challenge.
Steep
Slope
sliders.
Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, Panda was already, like, top tier, right, on that game.
Yeah.
And somehow... Fart Daily just managed to like clean
just
up.
Farting it up, dude.
Congrats.
Congrats.
Good. Yeah, so the community challenge did wrap up a few days ago, and we aren't going to talk much about it today because Cecil Harvey is working on a story about that, so and he's not quite done with it. So
yeah, that'll be nice when he's done.
We'll talk more about the community challenge. But I will say that I did finally submit some times at the 11th hour for that over the weekend. So
I
was not very good. I mean, I did get like fifth best score on a couple of those tracks.
That's pretty good. That's
so. Yeah, like I was pretty happy with that. Mm-hmm. Like for not really grinding it too much, and I hadn't played it in like a month.
Right.
You know, I did all right. I have to say, Steve Soap Sliders is equal parts fun and frustrating.
Frustrating,
I think.
It's all gravity, right? It's mostly like you're going down the hill based on gravity, right? And really, getting the best time is all about finding the cleanest path, right? Where you have the least amount of obstructions.
Which makes sense. That's what you have to do on real snow, too, I suppose.
True.
But,
that's true.
It has the added mechanic of, like, you have to hit the left and right triggers to kind of, like, move your board. So, like, if you're kind of sliding
to
a weird
carve.
Way, you
right.
start slowing down unless you... twist your board to be facing the direction that you're going now.
Okay.
Or if you want to make a harder turn, you can twist your board in the direction of the turn you were trying to cut into, and you'll cut harder.
Right.
That's what made it a cool game to have for a community challenge, because it has an extra nuance to it.
Hmm.
But, you say cuts
anyway.
Dan?
Yeah, it cuts deep in the snow.
Cuts deep in the snow.
That's what I was kind of up to a little bit. I did play a couple other Saturn games too, by the way, I wanted to briefly mention. One of them, I guess I'll just get into pickups, because one of them was Clockwork Knight 2, which I got from Mr. Frederickson.
Nice. Wait, could you hold that up to the camera?
Oh, yeah. So this is this is what he sent me. This is a copy that he got in the 90s. Like, this was his own, like, personal copy when he was young, and he just sent it to me.
Nice.
Which was super nice of him. Like, now, a little background. Bunny and I had sent him, like, a couple of, like, axolotl stickers that we got from a gacha machine at our grocery store that, like, he thought, Miss Ferguson thought his daughter would like.
Nice.
So when we did that, we also, like, threw some candy in there. From like a shop in town, and so he and his wife sent us some candy back, and his daughter sent us a piece of artwork that she made. It was very cute. It's hanging on our refrigerator right now.
Nice.
And a big surprise to me was that he also sent me Clockwork Knight 2, as well as a CD of his old high school band's music. So that was cool. That was pretty good. That was fun to listen to.
What genre?
It's like metal. It's like metal.
Oh, nice.
Like,
okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
High school metal band? I like it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was
nice.
Fun.
Nice.
But yeah, so I didn't have Clockwork Knight 2, and he just sent me his personal copy. He said that he, you know, he has a Fenrir now, and he just... Well, no, like he said he ripped Clockwork Knight 2 along with, you know, a bunch of other games. So he doesn't really feel the need to like have physical copies anymore. So, you know, he sent me this. I didn't have a copy of Clockwork Knight 1 or 2. And thanks
now
to that cheat code that Bo Bales found, I have both.
You have both games. That's right.
Yeah, so
thanks to Bo for putting that on. Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you, Mr. Frederickson. That was super generous of you. That was awesome.
Mr. Frederick.
Speaking of pickups, real quick, Dan, yeah. James from Sega Guys said that Dan picked up a Japanese Mega CD Lethal Enforcers with the gun bundle, mint, for 30 pounds. For 30 pounds. Game even has a spine card. Yeah, in Japan, because he's in Japan. And I'm super jealous, because that's awesome. And the Japanese gun, obviously, looks better than what we got in the States, too. So
I have one advice to Dan. Good luck getting that back to the UK.
Oh, yeah, right? Good luck getting it back to the UK. He'll have to, I don't know.
That ain't getting back, bro. That ain't getting back, bro. You're going to be like, oh, it's just a gun.
He just needs to get it back through customs.
Fine.
Nice.
I'm just a lethal
enforcer. It's like a hand cannon. That thing's like a hand cannon.
My young
perfect accent.
My young bird.
What else did you pick up, Dan? And you said you had multiple.
Yeah, so I got Clockwork Knight 2. And Bunny will have to help me on this one. I'm not going to bring the figure out, but we got a figure. This is another, like, you know, we had money burning a hole in our pocket from the tax returns.
Right.
But, a figure that Bunny has wanted desperately for a long time is, I'm going to show you the box, the Land of the Eternal Hatsune Miku.
Damn.
I don't know if you can see this.
Wow.
It is a massive figure. This is the massive box that it came in.
Wow.
It's a beautiful figure. It's so awesome. We posted some photos of it in the Shiro Insider chat. If people are interested, we can put them in regular chat too.
Yeah.
But we're not going to move her because she's very kind of fragile. And
is there any? Is there
the
any
figure
pokey
normally
picks
goes
possible?
For like pokey picks. I mean, her hair is pokey, I guess.
That's fair. No other. No other pokey parts of it.
Just what's
anyway,
it?
Funny.
What
Tell
is it made of?
Miku.
Is that like PVC?
I think.
Is it PVC?
Yeah, it's,
okay.
It's
get
PVC.
It on the mic.
I'm here.
Oh, yo, what's up?
Hi, Bunny.
Hi. Yeah, I've been wanting her for a really long time, and, like, it was kind of nerve-wracking because her head pops off to, like, put her hair in, and I'm, like, trying desperately not to, like, break anything.
Right.
And so I got her hair in and everything, and that's why she's on the bookshelf now, because I'm not moving her. I'm not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's PVC, but she's very fragile. So, but I was really excited.
Yeah, I feel it.
You don't get earthquakes where you're from, do you?
No, we don't get earthquakes in
Ohio. Okay, that's good. That is good.
We started getting some when they were doing a lot of that, like shale oil fracking, causing earthquakes, like in northeastern Ohio. And when they realized that was happening, they stopped the fracking. We've had no more earthquakes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, shout outs to the everyone on the East Coast of the U.S. who got
definitely.
To experience an earthquake today. That sounded like fun.
Yeah, my grandma, Laura, I don't know if she's in the chat. My grandma was like, what was that shaking? And I'm like,
oh really?
I know you actually got it all the way in Jersey. And she's like,
you know,
she's like,
jeez.
Oh, sorry.
This is the latest in a string of, because in Taiwan they got a category 7 in Taiwan, yeah. Just a couple days ago.
Well, that actually killed people. That was a serious
RIP. Yeah, but I mean, like that. So I mean, there's definitely stuff going on underground with the plates.
They don't need earthquakes.
Exactly.
They're China on them. So.
But anyway.
I wondered if Bunny wanted to say how much we got this figure for and how much she normally goes for.
Yeah, so she goes for over $300, and we got her for $146
Ooh, nice.
On Mercari. So the seller is still selling some of the figures.
And it was new in box, too.
Yeah, it was new in box. It was even wrapped in paper and everything, so...
Wow.
Yeah, that was an awesome deal. We just couldn't pass it up.
Yeah.
I knew how much she wanted this for so long that I was just like, you know what? It's a bunch of money, but it would be way more.
She already wanted it, and then you found it for that deal. That's pretty cool.
Right. It's like, we're not going to get an opportunity to get it for that price again. So, all right, sure. Yeah. Go for it.
Dan being my sugar daddy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Honestly, March has been like a hashtag Grail pickup month.
April, but I guess we did buy this. Did we buy this in the end of March? I don't remember.
It's still in March, I think, technically.
Let's pretend it's still March. Time's flying by too fast.
Exactly. Like I said, I think March has just been a hashtag Grail March or something, because like, I got all my Grails.
You're going to be playing one today, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to. Yeah, it's gonna be funny. The copy I got of Snatcher, the one I'm playing tonight, it's the actual copy I have that I ripped the disc of and put on the Mimister. So it's 100% that copy. So technically speaking, I'm playing it, but I'm not playing it.
And you're not pirating
disc.
It. You're not pirating it.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
Very legit.
Like you have been your whole life.
Exactly. It's mine now. It's officially mine that I ripped. I took off the wall. Put in my disk drive and ripped. It's my copy. So every mess up, every issue with it, it's gonna be
your fault.
Be mine.
So Mark Daly says in chat, I accidentally delayed Cecil's article about the Shiro Community Challenge because I didn't notice their Discord direct message for 3 days.
R.I.P. Well,
it's okay.
We'll talk about it next week. Because actually, incidentally, we're taking a break this month, so it'll be nice to be able to do some recap on that.
Challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll come
just
back.
Taking a breather,
May.
But we'll come back full force in May. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. We'll do something that'll make me very angry.
Pat and I played some Saturn games. Actually, this past Saturn day, we did a Netlink stream together. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, we had quite a few people in the chat. I think Trekkies was there. Knight was there. We were talking, you know, online net play and talking about, you know, video compression and a bunch of other geeky stuff. It was a fun Saturn chat and Saturn stream, and we'll try. Oh, and it was all Chronolay's idea. It was he did the moderating of it, and it was his idea in the first place. So shouts to him for you know, he was saying he wanted us to do some more like regular streaming. So, and I definitely want to, you know, where time will allow. So. Hopefully we can do some more of that. Maybe via the Saru, give that you know, put that thing through its paces and stuff. But yeah, definitely shouts to him and shouts to the rest of the community for showing up, and it was a lot of fun. So I went ahead and re-uploaded that VOD, just kind of like cut up into like the different games that we played, so folks can check it out if they want. Aside from that, we had a pickup this week, but I'm not going to talk about it because Pat and I are going to talk about it later when we talk about the article. But yeah, that's been me. What about you, Pat? Anything else outside of
Anything else?
Any Warhammer dollies pickups or anything like that? No.
Actually, no. Quite a bit's been happening.
Okay.
Like I said, I got Snatcher all ripped up. Yeah. That's all ripped and nude. I'm actually redoing my entire game room. Like, that's been my massive project. Like, I completely set up my whole desk. I posted online with the BVM.
The D24, right?
Saw the D24 that I'm looking at directly right now.
That's the new centerpiece. That's your new centerpiece of your room, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's
massive.
It's the main attraction. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's right in front of me right now. I have something planned on it, which I'll talk about. It's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So yeah, we got that. I redid my my whole room right like in this area over here, like over here. I don't know, you can't see it. I think I posted pictures in the chat for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did. But essentially, I'm redoing it. I have two of the PVM set up. Basically, I was not happy with the setup I had, where I had like all the consoles going to an Extron, mm-hmm. and then branching out into that to different TVs. I was not happy with that setup because it kind of felt like, I don't know, it felt like it took away from like the magic of really the setup. Like, it didn't feel like what I wanted it to feel. It felt like an industrialized like thing, and I wasn't a fan of it. So what I did is I completely redid I'm redoing the entirety of the setup, scrapping all of it. I'm going to turn the setup, my game consoles and everything into like that I have all lined up, have that go directly into the BVM and use that BVM as like my streaming stuff for Saturn, Dreamcast, and then Mister. I have my N64 and my Mega CD, my Mega Drive, and then my SNES hooked up to another PVM, and those two are independent of one another, so they're off the grid, plugged into via like the speakers on the PVM. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna play them that way, so I can just turn around and just play them and have them like only cartridges. They're not gonna be no ever drives, no nothing. Back to basics. We're like the Beatles. Back to the basics. Just straight consoles, video input, S video and RGB. That's it into them. And I'm cool. Turning my other setup I have. It's like another cart. I'm setting that up as my arc. I can't remember. My super gun setup. So it has all my super gun stuff right
like
there.
Like a MAME?
Like a MAME. No MAMEs. All super guns. Okay. All arcade boards. Only directly into it. That'll be the main setup over there, and then maybe some VHS if I'm feeling it. But
right.
Well, it sounds like a dream room, Pat.
Yeah,
it is. I need to take it back to basics. And like I said, I'm very happy with the way that it's turning out. It's good. The vibe is really there. I'm feeling the vibe a little bit more than last time.
Mm-hmm.
This PVM's amazing. Another thing I've been working on is I'm working on a video project in a little bit.
Hmm.
That I've been playing around with. Maybe I'll give you a hint on this.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You guys could probably guess what the video
Pikachu?
Will be about.
You've been talking about this video for years now.
Wow. Yeah,
this was on podcast. Pat held up a picture of Pikachu.
Yeah, but it wasn't just any picture. Printed on what?
Printed on like paper, like a printout paper, like a glossy paper. So this is gonna
be.
Is
that the Casio Loopy?
No,
yeah, the Loopy. Yeah.
Oh, is that the Loopy?
Awesome.
Oh, totally I thought you printed loopy. That with the pre-fun. Okay,
it is.
No,
I'm joking. It's not the Loopy.
Okay.
I believed you.
Dan believed
I
you. I could tell he believed. He's getting excited.
No, footage, but, some Loopy coverage.
No, you
man.
Know what? You need to do a collab video with Derek A Team, and he'll do like Loopy meets pre-fun.
Dude, everyone's doing the Casio Loopy.
They
like,
are.
Everyone,
yeah.
Everyone. It's like the new hotness.
Everyone's
it's
Loopy the for the Loopy. Yeah, yeah. It
well,
is.
Well, Film Cow played a bunch of like Loopy games, and he was trying to just like, because most of them are just, you know, there's gimmicky and you just print stuff out. But he stumbled on one that was like an actual game. It was like this whole ass adventure game. And you have to get through the entire thing, which takes like, I don't know, 6 hours or something to play through before it'll finally let you print out some stickers. All he wanted to do is test out his printer sticker printing abilities with this thing, and he ended up getting sucked in this whole game. It was really fun. It was a charming little game. I loved watching him play it. But like, I'd never heard of the Casio Loopy before he streamed that early. I think it was earlier this year.
Loopy FPGA core when. Yeah, that's it.
I know, seriously.
Right?
Agreed.
We need it. Because it looked like a fun game.
But then you have to have like a little printer attachment or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? That'd
You'd
be
have
funny,
to rig
though.
It up to modern printers. That would be impressive.
Right? You'd have all these like different drivers depending on what printer you have. No, that would be funny.
But yeah, no, it's really cool right now. Like I said, I am working on this year specifically. This is probably going to be a two-parter. I'm going to focus on one of the parts on my personal YouTube channel for the printer portion, that, you know, hint.
Right.
What could I possibly be alluding to? What could you do in the 90s where you could have stuff printed out from Pokemon Snap? Let's think, and then, you know,
now, what
spoil
did,
what
where did you get that image? Is that from, like, your...
I took a picture of Pikachu on Pokemon Snap.
Okay.
I just cool. like, did a little cart thing, aimed the camera at Pikachu.
Right.
Basically, it's your own photo.
It's my own photo. And I'll go through that once I... basically, because I saw the printer there, I was like, why don't I just set it up? I have a couple hours free. Why don't I just, like, you know, hook it up. And it was kind of frustrating at first to get it going, but I was able to get it going. And like I said, I have quite a couple fun ideas. Like I said, this is not going to be the be-all, end-all of the idea that I'm proposing, but, like, it's just a fun little thing that I want to work on. So I will talk more about that when I
quick reminder. Quick reminder to everybody in chat, everybody watching. We have 57 people watching and 27 likes. So if the other folks could give us a thumbs up, that would be great.
Let's go.
And then share this out. Let's get up to. Let's see if we can hit 70. Do you guys think we can do it? It would be great if we could get 70 people watching by the end of this stream. Let's see if we can do it. Hey, Frog Bowl, how's it going? And Cerulean is here. Brian Trusty.
Shouts out. I think I saw him at did I see you at the Game On Expo? Brian, was that you at the that booth? Maybe I might be wrong. But at the
I think I would have remembered.
I'm pretty sure that was that him? I don't know. Brian, just let me know if that was you or not at the Henshin and no, the was it the what the girl one, the one who was next to us, the other people that had the homebrew game I put on Dreamcast.
Oh, was it Saramaro?
Yeah, Saramaro.
You're talking about like Yuki.
FX Unit Yuki is
what you're talking about. Okay,
I'm
yeah.
Bad at
no,
memes.
It's okay.
No, that wasn't you. Okay,
not him. Brian. Sadly, no. But
next game on X. But the last update, I'll do it really quick. I basically got the Mister has been massive updates. Update to the Saturn core, and then the new N64 core. I am freaking out right now. I am looking directly at Star Fox right now, running almost nice. Perfectly on my like 128 SD megabyte SD RAM. This core awesome. Is amazing. I'm just testing cores while I'm waiting, just waiting for the pre-show over here. It's amazing. I'm in love with this. This is finally the be-all end-all system I needed, the Mister. Now I got everything up to there. I got all the pre-systems 16-bit. I got N64 and Saturn, and then I got the the Saturn with the ODEs and stuff, PSX on here as well. And I have all the ODEs and stuff for the next gen. Was it the sixth gen? Is that it? The
sure. Gen? Yeah, sixth gen.
The GameCube stuff. So
everyone, sixth.
Like GameCube and stuff. So I'm super hot. I am super hot. I am super happy that I can now
that's
play
confidence,
all my
Pat.
Stuff and
yeah.
RGB. I am. I'm really excited for this core. This is amazing. Like, this is blowing my mind. This is what I wanted. I can finally enjoy N64 and not have to deal with whatever the hell the stuff is over there. I just need to get an N64 replica controller for it or some sort of controller.
So what game
adapter?
So what games are you gonna play on the N64?
I have a full list. I got 007 was on.
Because you always like to joke. You always like to joke that you hate N64, but I know that's not true. So what are your go tos?
My go tos. I'll just name off this list real quick. We're going down: F-Zero X, GoldenEye 64, Legend of Zelda: Ocarina and Majora. Star Fox 64, Mario Kart, Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, Mystical Ninja, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Bang-A-O, Pokemon Stadium, Snap, and Puzzle League, Quake 64, one of my favorites, Quest 64, shouts out Quest 64 on Twitter, Spider-Man, Star Fox, all the Star Wars ones, Rogue Squadron, Shadows, and then Pod Racing.
Battle for Naboo?
No,
about that one?
Bad games. No.
Did you say Sin and Punishment?
Battle for Naboo, isn't that like essentially the spiritual sequel to Rogue Squadron? Like they pretty basically took that engine and maybe the same people as Rogue Squadron.
Yeah. It was the
Factor 5.
Was it Factor 5? Yeah,
and they just took the engine and just like made it even better. I actually didn't play it because I thought it was like going to be a junk
game
too at the time.
Yeah, like a trash game.
I've heard that.
No, it's actually pretty good.
I've heard that it's actually pretty good. Yeah.
It was slept on back in the day. A lot of people like opted for Rogue Squadron over that, but yeah, no, it's not bad.
I can always find an official copy.
Pat, did you say Sin and Punishment?
Other ones. And Sin and Punishment. I was about to get to that.
All right. Because I was just going to say, like, no list is complete without Sin and Punishment.
Yep. And then the Turok games, and then Wipeout 64 and Worms Armageddon.
Cool.
Nice.
So like I got
that was like a good list.
Oh, and Conker's Bad for a Day. Almost forgot.
Oh, did you say episode one Racer?
Yeah,
gotta have that.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, cool. All right, he went so fast. Eight-bit SNK boy says play Sega Saturn. But then again, he's probably playing SNK. he's probably playing Neo Geo.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm, like I
he
said,
can't
I'm
talk.
Just so psyched. I'm just so psyched. I'm gonna get a controller for this, and if anybody has a good Bluetooth controller, the options for N64, let me know because I want to do it.
Oh, okay.
So, or an adapter. If anybody knows, let me in the chat. Just send me a link to it, or just DM me on Discord. Because I want to get N64 going on this mister. Mm. I want to play the games again. I want to get back to basics, baby. Anyways, that's
indeed.
It for me. Sorry about that.
Okay.
What about you, Dave? What have you been up to after my
Well,
long
I told you.
Update?
I said we did that Saturday stream. It's been spring break. So for college kids, that means partying. For me, that means my kids are out of school and they're my problem. So,
RIP,
you know, it's been take your kids to work week, which has been lots of fun, but it's come to a close and now we are, I can finally lay down and rest. Work never ends.
Lay down and rest.
but no, yeah, it's been fun. You know, we had camps going on, so they were like occupied part of the time, but yeah, trying to get work done when they're like there at your work is difficult. But yeah, aside from that, we picked up like this cart thing that we're going to talk about, this interesting thing that you slam in the top of your Saturn and it does stuff. So yeah, we're going to get into that.
This thing in there?
Slamming it. Yep. You remember
slamming
Slammers? Did you have Slammers back in the day? Pogs? Yeah,
no,
Pogs.
They banned that from
my
school.
They didn't ban it at my school.
It was all about Pokemon by the time.
Let's get into it. We can get into the news if you guys want to talk.
It's really been a little bit of a slow news day, but I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about the Saru. Both of you got Sarus.
We have stuff
week.
To say.
I did not.
So,
that'll be a lot of today's show. But I think before we get into that, there's a Best of Saturn. That
there
Peter
is.
Wrote.
Which? Where do we start? What was the last thing we talked about last week?
We covered that.
We covered the 4K. Okay, we covered the minor.
The Dragon Force one. We need to talk about that one. That's the most important one.
Right. Minor so new cheat code discovered for Dragon Force. You go ahead, Pat.
So basically, this one's really, really exciting. So for those that don't know, there's a character in Dragon Force named Enya, who's named after, obviously, the greatest singer of all time, Enya. I don't remember what her full name is off the top of my head. But
she's only known as Enya.
And yeah, okay. But basically, Peter found some really interesting cheat codes. I guess him and Bo Bales have been working together, and they found a really interesting cheat code where essentially you can unlock a portrait of Enya as Enya when you're playing Dragon Force. It was a really weird one. They said it's like this long-winded code or something like that. I don't really have the details on. I think the code's
no, they give the code. It's definitely very doable. It's definitely not impossible to do.
Yeah, like I said, the code is kind of tricky, but I had some issues, but I got it. They actually found another change where apparently there's another Enya reference in there where if you put in the code backwards and you do it three times backwards exactly, it'll actually unlock Enya from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like the avatar of her from JoJo. It's really interesting.
Crazy.
I didn't get a chance to screenshot yet, but yeah, you can look forward to that. Yeah, exactly. I'll get some screenshots of that and we'll talk about that. But yeah, thank you, Peter, for that awesome cheat code. There's details in the article. You could try it for yourself. Let me know if you guys are able to replicate it. But yeah.
When was this posted?
For those of you wondering, this article did go up on April 1st, just by coincidence.
Yeah, just a coincidence, guys. This actually happens. Bo Bales, you can message him himself. He'll back up on that.
Very
saying
true.
That, he's actually worked with Peter in getting this. But thank you, Peter, for this amazing discovery. It's amazing that after all these years, we can have the famous and beautiful Enya blessing Dragon Force in our Saturn.
Yeah, it is amazing.
So thank you, Peter. For
the biggest revelation all year.
Wow.
Exactly. But anyways, after that bombshell, why don't we talk about the best?
You're
of
so
Saturn.
Enthusiastic. But Best of Saturn, Nanatsu Kazunoshima Monotogari. This is Enix published by what is this? Givro and Buddy Zoo. I think we're the developers. Published by Enix at Graphic Adventure. Nanatsu Kazunoshima Monogatari, The Tale of the Island of Seven Winds, exclusively came out in Japan in late 1997 with gorgeous hand-drawn visuals. The game sees the dragon Gappu seeking to harness the titular Seven Winds to unravel a mystery from the past. Names and remembering them is key to this unusual game. Hints and help are dispensed along the way in the forms of poems and cryptic messages. Think Dreamcast, Echoes, Glyphs. And then, wait, Dreamcast Echoes? Right, the Echo. No, I think he's talking about the Echo the Dolphin game. Yeah. The Glyphs. Alas, they are entirely in Japanese. This combat-free puzzle adventure game akin in the way to the King's Quest titles. A great example of a dimension of Saturn gaming that never made it out of Japan. It really is a beautiful game. I have a prop here, my own copy. It is the first...
Nice.
This is the first Saturn game that I imported. The first import Saturn game that I ever bought.
That's cool.
I've been sent import games, but like this was the first one that I actually like ordered and bought. And it is really cool. Like it comes... It's a two-disc game. It has a really cool manual with a bunch of artwork in it and stuff like that. And
apparently Dan picked this up in Japan.
Yeah, Mega Driver.
Oh, did he pick it up while he was in Japan?
That's cool. What James is saying, yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. it's
a cool game. Lacquerware had played through this on his Twitch channel a couple of years ago, and he basically like live translated it as he was playing it. I don't know if the video on demand is still on his Twitch. I hope it is, because that was super cool, actually being able to basically understand what's going on in the game. It's a very poetic game. He remarked while he was trying to read it and play it that it was, everything is written very poetically, and so that kind of like hampers like an English translation, like a good English translation, because you would have to write everything poetically to really get that feeling across that Japanese players would get from playing it. But yeah, it's a very interesting, very game that's sort of like a thoughtful look, I guess, at these. It's like a fantastical world of fantastical creatures, but at the heart of it is just a story of two friends who like grew apart, and they're trying to mend their relationship, essentially. It's really neat, and there's super interesting and cool like stop motion animation cutscenes throughout it too.
It does have like the weird like Neverhood style, like almost like claymation stuff going on in it, and it's got hand-drawn stuff as well. It's got tons of brilliant artwork. I believe there was like a book that came out for it that had a bunch of like beautiful artwork in it as well. So I mean, it's just a really great game. It's like on the top of my bucket list, I guess, for like Saturn translations. So it was, you can imagine, I was kind of sad to hear that from Greg, because I was like, oh no, that means that that he's probably never going to do it. But I mean, I know that he looked at it seriously, so I know I appreciate him trying, but maybe one day we'll see it. Yeah. Among others, there are many games I'd love to see translated, but this is definitely one of them.
Well, and Kitchen 34, who translates a lot of Saturn games into French, because he is French.
Yeah.
He teased on the Delta Island forums in the past few days, that he is starting to translate this game into French.
Right.
So that's cool. I don't know. There's a lot of text in this game, so I don't know how far he's going to get.
We'll see.
But he does seem to pretty much like see his project through to completion one way or another. He is still working on that RMJ, the Mystery Hospital game, which he's doing in both English and French, I believe. He's still plugging away on that too.
Yeah. That's crazy too, because I believe this game has been, or at least partially, translated into Spanish. So
somebody's working on that too. Yeah, which they haven't put an update on their website since August. I just checked earlier today, actually.
Right. Yeah.
But
so
hopefully he's still working on it.
The West wants this game. That's for sure. And I mean, it's completely locked to Saturn. You know, never did, it's never been ported,
no,
never got remade or anything like that. It's like locked to this console. It's crazy how many names were involved in this game. Givro, Crowd, Buddy Zoo, 2-5, and then Enix, of course, was the publisher.
How's it going, bro?
Sorry?
Panda just hopped and saying hi to the bros.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Panda.
Oh, yes.
Hopping in.
And Amanda.
I imagine one of these, I don't know which one of them, but one of these is probably like the animation studio that did like the hand-drawn stuff. Probably. Another one is probably the one that did the stop animation. Then you have like the actual developer. I think Givro was the actual
developer.
So there's a lot of, there's a lot of art that went into this game. So a lot of people, a lot of hands like made this game.
You can tell it's a passion project.
Yeah, definitely.
Too, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Next up, we'll talk about Shiro. Or do you want to talk about the one that you just wrote up so that we get through it and it doesn't end
up getting, if we run long.
Okay, so the first slam dunk Blu-ray set for June in the US. Go for it, Dan.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the news. Thanks, everybody.
Well, you saw this, right? You saw it in theaters.
Yes, I did. I saw this. So, for those who don't remember, Slam Dunk got a Saturn game, a pretty cool Saturn game that Pat has played on stream after the Shiro show before. And it was based on an anime and uses clips from an anime, and the anime is based on a manga, all of it from the 90s. Well, the original manga artist and writer, he, let me look at his name real quick. Okay, Takahiko Inoue. He actually directed this movie. And it's like a feature-length movie from Toei Animation, who did the original anime in the 90s. It's a really good movie. It's very cool. It's in CG, but it's really well done CG. It's not bad CG at all. It definitely has like an interesting art style too, which helps make the CGI kind of come across better. And yeah, it was out in the U.S. just for like 1 week in my market in Cleveland.
Yeah, it was weird.
Right.
Yeah, and it was just like limited theaters. It was like 500 theaters across the U.S. got this movie. And then the very next week, it dropped down to like 70 theaters. And the week after that, it was down to like 20. So, I mean, it really only got like a 1 to 2 week run, depending on where you lived. But it was a hit worldwide. It grossed like almost $280 million. It's the fifth highest grossing anime film ever. And now it is coming out on Blu-ray in the US. It's set for June 25th. And I definitely put July in the lead. Sorry about that. It's supposed to be June 25th. That's my bad. June 25th, coming out next month. G-Kids is the distributor in the US, and they announced it on social media earlier this week, and they put up a little trailer for it. It's going to be it's $20 to buy it off of their website, and it's a little more, $26 or something like that, off of Amazon. It's going to have a couple of featurettes with the English dubs cast and crew, so that's kind of cool, as well as commentary from the director himself, Mr. Inoue. So it's pretty nice. They also mentioned that there's going to be a collector's edition, but they're going to have details on that at a later date. Maybe it's going to come out later as well. I'm not sure.
But Frogbowl said shirt number 23 for Pat. I don't know what that means.
I guess you wear a different shirt every day, so he's making note of that.
Oh, okay. I mean, I do wear different shirts.
Anyway, yeah, the Saturn game is actually pretty good. It's one of my favorite basketball games on the Saturn.
Michael Jordan. Okay, sorry. I don't support the Bulls because they're trash.
I don't
support the Bulls. I hate Kobe. I hate Jordan.
Dang, hater.
The only one I like is what's his name? Diesel.
What does Kobe Diesel. Bryant have to do with the Bulls?
No, I don't like Kobe Bryant because he's the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I do like Shaquille O'Neal because guess who he played for?
The Lakers?
The Suns.
Phoenix Suns, baby.
Sports. Go Guardians. Their season started about a week ago, and they've been one of the best teams in baseball out of the gate, so that's awesome. The home opener is going to be this Monday on Eclipse Day. Right after the eclipse ends, they're going to start playing their game, so that's that's cool. So I had to wear my Guardians t-shirt today.
Hey, you gotta respect, Did you do that on purpose for the slam dunk thing or just a...
No, I just, I wore it because the Guardians home opener is coming up on Monday. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, slam dunk. I did see it in theaters when it came out.
last year over here, and I liked it. It was the first anime movie I'd ever seen in theaters, actually. And I brought Bunny to it, and she thought it was good too. We both liked it. It's very much a basketball movie. You know, a lot of it is the kids playing like the championship game, but it frequently gets into their heads, and it really, a big part of the story is how the struggles that they have off the court are reflected on the court, and how they have to kind of like get over some of those, or learn to sort of deal with their own personal problems to then also succeed in their game. So, you know,
it's typical shonen sports manga,
it's nicely done. You know, it's all wrapped into a movie, so it's not
right
drawn out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really good. I haven't actually watched
to flashbacks and stuff like that, because the kids have kind of had like trauma earlier in their life and whatnot. So it's really good. I would recommend watching it. It won like the best animated film award in Japan last year, I think. So
really,
Nice. So critically acclaimed.
So, cool.
Yeah, slammed up.
You know, I've actually watching a lot of sport anime. Like, I've been watching Blue Lock recently. Have any of y'all seen that?
Which one?
No.
Blue Lock.
Oh no.
Is that soccer or
it's a football anime. Basically it's like a battle royale with soccer. Basically all these guys are strikers and they want to become the best strikers. And it's really the antithesis of the typical anime, because anime is like, oh, we need to work as a team to solve it. This one's like, forget the team. It's all about you. You need to be the perfect striker. You need to solve your own. If you're not going out for your own, you're not going to make it through Blue Lock. It's really fun. And there's a lot. My friend has been showing me, and it's actually really good.
Definitely. So it's kind of, it sounds kind of like the Initial D of soccer anime.
It
kind of
is.
Because with like Inazuma 11, you're right. It's like, we're a team, you know, it's very positive and upbeat and they're always, you know, they only succeed when they work as a team, but,
Yeah, but no, definitely
cool.
Recommend that one. But yeah, no.
66 viewers. Hey, Panda, if you're still watching, tweet out the show.
66. Yeah, Panda, tweet it out. Get us up to 70 viewers. We just need four more. We can do this.
We need to set
the bar higher. We have to have a higher precedent.
I'll take off my shirt if we make 80.
So,
oh boy.
This article was supposed to be more tongue-in-cheek. It was supposed to be, I bought a Saru.
Baby.
It was supposed to be, I bought a Saru. Should I be Saru? I deleted that because
Thank you for restraining yourself on the dad joke.
I literally did that for Dan because I was like, I bought a Saru. Should I be Saru? Backspace. Dan is gonna hate this.
Head in my keyboard if you did that.
I actually was recommending. I told Dave, well, I don't know why you made it about you. You should call it "We Bought a Saru," and like we bought a zoo. Except
the movie poster of "We Bought a Zoo."
Yeah, we bought a Saru. Oh my God, Neil Moose Trek said the same thing. We bought a zoo.
Nice.
There you go. They sent us a Saru. Technically, we did buy a Saru, but they shipped them both to me because AliExpress. I don't know. Because they just saw, they were like, oh, it's the same guy buying it. We'll just save some money and ship them both to him, even though like I paid shipping twice, you know? So I filed, anyway, I'll talk about it. I filed a dispute and they handled it really well. They're giving us a refund for like an entire refund. So that's good. Saved us some money. Because I had to overnight it to Pat so he would get it in time. But anyway, why did we buy? I guess we should start. Okay,
let's hold our Sarus up. Be like,
first of all, for anybody who doesn't know, what is a Saru? Okay, a Saru is a cart that goes in your Saturn, but
it's where you're going to be if you don't get us to 80 viewers.
Unlike the pseudo carts out there and the action replays and the 4-in-1s and all the other stuff that's out there that this is an ODE, technically. This is an EverDrive, if you will. But it's more than that, too. It is a 1-in-4 megabyte RAM cart. It is a backup memory cart. It is a per-game save. It is, what else? It is driven by an FPGA, a Cyclone 4. It is an ODE that can...
It's everything. It's an
boot,
ODE.
Boot
it's
games
a
very,
cart.
Very fast.
It's a 4-megabyte cart.
I just said that.
Thing. I'm just trying to iterate.
All the things.
Okay. It does.
It is an all-in-one cart, basically, yeah. Except it doesn't do VCD movies yet.
It does.
It does.
What? No. What did he say? Now I have to go back to my message with.
Yeah, you've been messaging TZMWX. Right?
What did he say? So he said it does support. It does support. CDs, like you can rip a CD to a BenQ image and it'll play those.
Okay.
Believe it or not, yeah. For example, adding VCD cards, sorry, it was possible. It's time to cost some money. Okay, so you're right. Wait a second.
I thought you had asked him about that, and he said that he isn't planning on adding that functionality.
So he's not planning on adding that. No, okay, but it's compatible. Sorry, if you have a VCD card and you pop the VCD card in, you should be able to boot VCD images. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And play them, but you're not going to need a VCD card.
It cannot replace the MVAC card.
He said that the potential is there, but it's a time and energy kind of thing. Like, and and right now they're just working on food and clothing. You know what I mean? And shelter kind
the
of.
Basics.
You know, they're working on the basics, getting game compatibility.
We'll have the 65-inch flat screen later.
Yeah, but essentially, there's a endless potential here, that I would only argue is hampered slightly by the fact that it relies on the cart port of the Saturn, as we all know, which is not exactly the most, it's not the most stable thing. But if you talk to some people like Trekkies, he's just like, you just need to clean the contacts. There's nothing wrong with the,
if you do that, we can make an argument saying that I think the cart slot is sensitive to dust and debris and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Night of Dragon has been prepping these Netlink kits for our community, right? 20 of them to be exact. And every single one was new in box, like new old stock in box, right? Never touched, right? Never saw the light of day. And every single X-band modem that he slapped into the Saturn worked first time. So that's anecdotal, but I mean, it does suggest that if the cart is in good condition and the contacts are nice and clean and they're not oxidized at all, that it should work pretty well. But it is true that folks who leave really thick carts, you know, like non-OEM Game Shark carts in their Saturn for long periods of time, it does kind of like bend the pins out and
you can't take extra thick. You have to be gentle with it. You have to. It'd be a little bit skinnier, you know. It'd be a little bit thinner.
Okay.
You don't want to. Well, I mean, you know what they say. You keep putting massive things and like extending it. It just like, you know, it just like stretches it out and it makes it harder to.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just wanted to add. There's no good way to transition from all of that, but
there's really not.
Contacts are sensitive on the Saturn. The Saturn's cart slot. They're very sensitive to dust and debris and whatnot because the pins are denser than on, say, like a Mega Drive, Genesis slot. Because there's just more like addressable space going on there, because there are pins for the expanded RAM, are pins for the backup save space, you know, pins for the Netlink modem, and so they have to have pins for all those separate things.
Yeah.
And so they had to fit more pins into that little area.
I should also say anecdotally that I have trying to say this without Pat making a joke. I've taken out and inserted this cart into the Saturn a few times, in the process of this. And it's worked every time. It has worked every time. I haven't had to like pull up on it or do any kind of weird stuff to get it to work with the Saturn. Your brain's in the gutter.
First time. Just a few times.
But all seriousness though, I do agree with Dave. Like,
let's move right along.
I was able to put it in, and every time like I was able to remove it and put it in, like I had some times where I had to like, this is, I'm not trying to make a joke. I swear, I was able to put the cartridge inside of the cartridge slot, And then, like, every time I took it out and put it back in, it worked first try. There wasn't a, oh, I had to wiggle it or pull it out a little bit and then put it back in.
So
I just put it down.
I didn't have any trouble.
Your mileage may vary, and I guess we'll have to monitor the situation and see what it's like down the road. Mm-hmm. I haven't, it doesn't look like the PCB is any thicker than, say, the OEM. Actually, I have that here. Wait a second. I can actually.
This chat is killing me.
Yeah. So, so I want to say, it doesn't really, here's a OEM backup cart and it looks about the same, but I don't know. It could be like a micron thicker or whatever. It could be a little thicker. And that maybe that's part of the reason why it's like making good contact right now.
Mine doesn't look beveled on it. Or maybe it's like slight.
It's very slight. It does look beveled.
Yeah.
It's like, but the effort. And I want to hear what Derek A-Team thinks, because I know he's really anal about that, too. Yeah. And he has, like, I know he bevels a lot of his own stuff, like, with sanding
a
paper. But again, but no, like, it does look beveled.
Really
it's just a thick cart, and I'm not exactly sure how beveled it is. But it is. Like, they did at least some beveling to the edge connector. Okay, but getting right along into the meat of this article, because folks have probably started to tune out at this point. So why did we get these? Okay,
they're tuned out, Dave. I think they're way tuned in, if you know
what
I'm saying.
Okay, so we waited a long time to get one of these. Because even though we were one of the first to report, when the project jump started, or when it started back up from being dormant over like 8 years, Shiro was one of the first outlets, if not the first, to report about it. And Hitomi 2500 had a hand in it, you know, and it was an amazing project with a lot of potential. But at that point, it really was just that. It was an open source project. Nothing really in terms of like a retail product, you know, and the creator TP Unix, or TPU, we've called him for short, had no intention of ever selling this commercially. It was really more like made it for himself, put out the schematic and made it open source and was like, you know, run with it. At that time, it was pretty much, you know, there it was clearly planned that the FPGA, the Cyclone 4, would be replaced because it was hard to come by, I guess. And, you know, it's an older FPGA. They've been superseded. But I don't know, after the semiconductor shortage kind of died down and things became more available, I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that Intel bought Altera. But essentially, those plans kind of just went to the wayside. I think part of it has to do with this, though. In the meantime, while we were busy waiting, you know, for a hardware revision, many entrepreneurial, you know, enterprising Chinese vendors just said, to hell with it. We're just going to make it as it is. You know, we're just going to, it works. And really, compatibility is down to kind of like fine tuning each game, right? Through the configuration file. So many different vendors went to market with the schematic as it was, that TPU found himself scrambling to try to like create, you know, updated firmware to help support those carts that were out there, you know, because in a way that kind of reflects back on him, you know, and his work, you know.
I'm checking the chat, guys.
Say what now?
Dragons of Saturn said, Pat, get off your phone.
Yeah,
please.
He's just checking the chat. So, So while we were busy waiting, a bunch of Chinese vendors went to market with their own versions of the cart. Some were of better quality than others. Dan did a report halfway through last year about carts being bricked by updating the firmware.
Yeah, it's been kind of the Wild West on AliExpress with these different server manufacturers.
Yeah,
and we're early adopters. I mean, people have gotten their things bricked and like, well, guess I gotta buy a new one now.
Even though these have been available and some folks have had theirs for over a year, we're still early days now. Like the fact that we just got them, we're still early, believe it or not. Because
we have to iterate this, though, is that this thing is not.
Yeah.
This isn't like set it and forget it. You're ready to play games. Everything works with it. No, there's a lot of stuff that's not compatible with it. Mm-hmm. This is not a replacement at all for the Satiator Fenrir. We'll just straight up say that.
As of today. But I mean, like, who was I talking about? Like TWMZ or whatever on Twitter. Like he's been, you know, messaging me and saying, you know, if you have any questions, please let me know. What did you find janky about it?
He's been working with GPU, right? Doesn't he work on the firmware?
Yeah, like he does not sell on AliExpress. He doesn't have any commercial, but he's very interested in the success of this cart and of this project.
And he's Chinese, just like GPU. And this is like a Chinese project.
Yes. And so like he doesn't really want any bad things being said about it, or like he doesn't want it to garner a bunch of like skepticism in the, you know, among the community, because the thing is he wants it to succeed and he wants to help it succeed, right? So there are a few things that are a little like rough around the edges right now, but I know that those are being worked on, and I can tell they're being worked on. They have been over firmware iterations, so it's easy to see that this is going to be one of, if not the solution, you know, for between this and Satiator, honestly, because there are some drawbacks, there are some pros and cons that we're going to talk about. But essentially, yeah, they decided not to change the hardware. And when I found out about that, when Pat and I found out about that, we were like, well, we can't really we can't ignore the elephant in the room anymore. There are people already going to YouTube with videos, like their own little reviews of this cart, and they took, you know, they bit the bullet and they took a chance on it, and they've been enjoying it. So, you know, we, of course, being a Saturn news site, we have to cover this. I just want folks to know the only reason we were waiting is because we didn't think that this was like what Saru was going to be, but it is pretty much now set in stone that it's not changing.
Physical design, it is.
Physical design.
Now, at least.
But that, I'll tell you what, though, that actually presents some issues, because my wife, who's an electronic engineer and is thinking about, we were thinking about making one, went to her suppliers, you know, went to the distributors that she has, and realized that a lot of these parts are either completely obsolete and have been replaced with newer parts, or they're like either only available via new old stock, or just not available at all, and you have to try to find some kind of alternative for them. Wow. And that's led Chinese vendors to doing two things. Either they're buying parts new, old stock, specifically the Texas Instruments RAM chips are like, can only be gotten new, old stock, or they have to be ripped off of like scrapped e-waste, basically. And that's something that they're doing, and that,
some of the sellers are doing that.
Some of the sellers are doing that, right? To be able to turn around and sell it at a price that, you know, folks are going to take a chance on. But unfortunately, that results in, you know, varying degrees. You just don't know. It's hit or miss. What I'm noticing is that most people are like, oh, well, my cart works fine, and it will work fine until you go to try to like flash it, right? And then that's where, so incidentally, TPU,
69 viewers, baby.
TPU has 69. Oh, wait, no,
it's 70. There we go. Okay. Hey,
really?
Let's pull
my phone. Oh, there we go. 70. We need an air horn. We need,
we need
confetti and an air horn right here. Yeah. Thanks for watching, everybody. Click the link. Click the like.
We get 70. 10 more, and I'll take off my shirt, baby.
Oh my God!
Oh God! Yeah. God, don't hope. Let's. He'll do it.
The Saru, some of the manufacturers are using this e-waste, and it's allowing them to sell their version of Saru cheaper.
Right.
But not only is it making them more kind of open to getting bricked, but also since their configurations are sometimes like a little different from way they're supposed to be, aren't they like forking the their own firmware?
Right.
So it's like you can't even use the official firmware updates from TP Unix. You have to wait you bought your Saru from to make a new version of their firmware adapted from the new one that TP Unix made. It's kind of a mess.
It's a bit of a mess, and it makes it feel like a minefield when you're going on AliExpress. And as time goes on, more vendors enter the fray, and you just have so many options when you type in Saru and Saturn, you know, so many different options. Not to mention, on top of that, folks are thinking, oh, I got a Saru for $20, and they didn't realize that they only got the cart, they only got the shell, you know, because the way that they've been doing it is kind of janky too. They use the color options. Each product has like color options normally on AliExpress, and that's where they're hiding the option to either buy it without a cart, or just buy the cart and no board, you know? And so so I have seen folks on online saying, oh, I got a Saru for like $25, and then they get it and it's just the shell. It's just the shell. Like, so man, you gotta be, and I don't think that that's like a bait and switch or anything. I just think that that's how they're solving the solution of, here's a product and it comes in three different ways that you can get it. And people don't realize that because of the language barrier or because they're not familiar with buying on AliExpress, not paying attention.
I'm buying a Saru and here's the cheapest option. So.
Right. Cheapest option, right? The cheapest option is not always the best option in this case. And we asked, and what we were told via, you know, TPU is basically the Retro Game Paradise store on AliExpress is the most recommended. It's the recommended option because that's a well-known vendor in China that even Chinese consumers shop from that store.
And they'll have support. They have a lot of support for yeah. them. I mean, we actually had to hit support, right, Dave?
Well, yeah. I mean, we had to open a dispute, and within a day, they came back and said, yep, we shipped it to the wrong address. Here's a full refund, you know? So they do offer support, and that's a good thing. On top of that, he said they're one of the few that he knows is pretty certain that they don't use secondhand RAM chips, so that's good. I'm not exactly sure where they're sourcing all of those Texas Instrument RAM chips, but they're old. Those are like old chips and not readily available from any reputable distributors at this point.
Yeah, and
I wonder. Go ahead, Pat.
I just want to say that so a lot of people, like I said, they've been asking us, so I think that's the best we could do. I will start answering people. We've been really hesitant to recommend it because we've been asked, oh, where do you get it? Where do you recommend getting it from? And it's right. like, we can't give you an answer that's gonna, you know, that can 100% guarantee, but I guess that's the closest thing. So
for now,
I'm gonna start recommending it, and I'll put a disclaimer as like, I can't make any promises on this, but this is where we got ours from, and it's the best support. It gives you the best support. I can't promise it's the best Saru of all time or if it's going to be perfect. So
here's what I can say, though.
Be careful
when you go on AliExpress, because there is a store. There is a shop called the Retro Game Paradise Second Shop. Okay. Mm. And I have no idea if this is actually them or if it's like a clone shop. So just buy from the one that says the Retro Game Paradise store. Okay.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I will say shouts to TPU for taking a bad situation with all these bricked carts and finding a good solution. Right now, as of now, the latest firmware or the latest like menu version is version 0.4. And you don't have to flash the cart. Basically, the firmware is just read off of the SD card directly. So basically, whatever file you drop into the root, that's going to be like the new firmware version, but it's not going to like permanently flash it to the cart, at least for now. They're doing that in order to like avoid bricking scenarios. Bricking. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's the situation as it is now. If there comes a time where it is needed to actually, permanently flash the hardware, then he'll issue a firmware update. And folks who, you know, did buy from the Retro Game Paradise store should be covered. They should be good. Anyway, that brings me to, I guess, one of the reasons, I guess, why Pat and I decided to do this is because Bob reached out to us. Bob from RetroRGB reached out. Yeah, about these injection molded cases from JNT Studio that we talked about last week. These are Retro Game Restore. Martin from Retro Game Restore is, I guess, the vendor or like the supplier, the distributor, I guess, for these carts that are done by JNT Studio. They're really slick. This is what they look like. Now, I should say that Derek, A-Team, he got his from the Retro Game Paradise store, and he just selected the with cart option, and he also got a really nice looking injection molded case. So you don't just have to buy from JNT Studio or Retro Game Restore if you want a nice looking case. Apparently it's an option for 21 extra bucks. You can just get it with the case, honestly, and it comes with a nice looking Sonic sticker, so that's an option as well. But it was nice. We got these for free, so it you know, behooved us to.
It was no brainer.
We just got the board.
JNT, though.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
And shouts to Retro Game.
Didn't you design your own sticker though to replace? I did.
Oh yes, I did. See, what I did was I tried to go with the same look as what is it? I'm trying to hold this up to the camera.
The backup the
same
memory card.
Look as yeah. the backup, the stock backup memory yeah. card, just with a little bit yeah. of a different coloration. But yeah, for the most part, that's what I went for. Other folks,
mine's blank at the nice. Moment. I'm working on a label for mine. I should have a label by next week. I actually got the proof for it. So
I almost didn't want to put
just
a label on it.
Just use the one that Bunny designed for you with Mr. Yeah. Bones on it. No. That one's perfect for you.
I almost didn't want to put a label on it because look, here I'm showing folks a picture of what it looks like without a label, and it actually looks really yeah. slick because yeah. They do be asleep. They put the Sega logo, even though it's totally not a licensed product.
Yeah,
they put,
that's totally not illegal.
Yeah, they put the Sega logo on the board, and it shows through. And so you, it's like the translucent circuit board. You can see everything.
Yeah.
That kind of looks like slick. And I kind of had a hard time putting the manual or putting the label on after seeing how cool it looked like that. So some folks on Twitter said, just leave it. Leave it bare and
yeah, because that's what I posted. Because I was like, "Hey, I'm thinking about making a label. What should I do?" And I was like, "Just leave it bare. It looks cooler that way."
But
and honestly, it yeah. kind of does. Like I saw it plugged in when I had it with the light. It mm-hmm. does look pretty cool. Like I said, I think yeah. I think it looks pretty cool. But I think I want to put a label on it just because it'd be cool. And I have a cool label design. I think everyone will love it. And yeah. I'll be open source once I get that done as well.
I do want to shout Martin from Retro Gamer Store. Like, he's got more skin in the game than just somebody who's, like, trying to sell these carts, because he's actually responsible for putting out one of the custom firmwares that's actually pretty nice, and it's the one that Pat and I have settled on. It's this one right here that auto sorts for you. It should be noted that the stock firmware from TPU is not capable of sorting alphabetical. And that's mostly down to the fact that he said that it takes a lot of compute power to do auto sorting, specifically when you're working with Chinese characters. And so a lot of the folks that are buying these carts, believe it or not, are not Americans. There's probably a ton of people in Asia, all parts of Asia, that are buying these carts and using them with Chinese characters. And it takes a long time for the Saturn to auto sort that stuff. However, when you're just working with English titles, it's a lot quicker. And Martin from Retro Gamer Store has a GitHub where he offers this custom firmware. You'll see here.
I mean, it is noticeably, even with English characters though, it is noticeably slower.
How much though? Like how much slower, Pat?
It feels like a tiny bit slower. Like it feels like it's a bit sluggish.
Yeah.
Like when you're scrolling, it is a bit sluggish. So
it's a bit
I'm
slower.
Not gonna lie. It
right.
is a bit slower.
Because
but
the
like,
because
yeah.
the stock one is just like instant, right?
Yeah, it's like that. Like it'll go through because there's no organization. It's just whatever's in the FAT format. Mm-hmm. But there are options if you really want that snappiness.
Yeah.
There's two programs you could use. It's like SD
sorter. Yeah,
and
drive sorter. Drive sorter.
Yeah, drive sorter. So there's two different options. It'll alphabetize the FAT, but it needs to be hit in FAT32 format to do that.
Yeah.
So, but we recommend you format your SD card for the SARU in FAT32 anyways. So.
Like basically the SARU, it sorts the files in whatever order that you dropped them onto the card. So for example, if you had everything in alphabetical order and then you dragged and dropped it onto the card, it would all be in alphabetical order, right? But then somebody releases a fan patch or something, or there's another game you want to add onto it. You add that game to the SARU, all of a sudden it's at the very bottom of the list, right? Not in alphabetical order. The fix to that is literally cutting all of the folders from the SD card and just putting them in a temporary folder, sorting by name, and then dropping them back into the ISO folder, which is, you know, takes only a few seconds, but there's programs that'll do this for you. Like, they'll basically.
It's something you don't think about when you're just throwing stuff on your SD card.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, so that does exist. There are workarounds to that problem. It's still early days, but what folks see behind Dan's head right now is basically the bare bones menu, what it looks like if you don't choose to go with a custom firmware. That's basically it. It's just, you know, a very simple white menu. What I didn't show, and here I'll show another picture down here. There it is again. That's the bare menu. Select game, system CD player, load game disk, load binary, and serial debug shell.
It's about as basic as the Satiator menu.
It's pretty, yeah. So it's very similar to like the stock vanilla Satiator menu.
Right.
And I will say, speed-wise, when it comes to like booting games, I feel like the stock satiator menu boots games about as fast as the Saru. Where the Saru might be faster is when it comes to in-game loading, you know, like where you're loading levels and stuff like that.
It feels really snappy, like that's, even in-game and loading it.
Yeah, that's where the Saru, I think, has an advantage over the Satiator, which is basically locked to the CD-ROM speed.
Abrasive does that intentionally with the Satiator, because there are some games that are counting on a certain length of load speed from the disc to be loading assets and setting things up for whatever it's about to do in the game next. So to not break those games, he intentionally made it stream data off of the SD card at the same rate as a CD. If every time it read the CD, it was a perfect read and it never had to like go back and skip it. So like that's where you kind of get time savings with the Satiator is you're never getting, you know, read failures where it's got to go back. It's perfect every time.
Right.
So with the Saru, I kind of wonder if it sounds like he's taking advantage of the fact that you can go even faster than a CD using the cart slot. Some of those like per game, compatibility issues that he's configuring, if some of the games he's finding are breaking when you're loading too fast, so he's got to slow them back down.
Is actually there's like a compatibility list, a full compatibility list here, where you can go through Williams DSW, dude from Brazil who's compiled this compatibility list and given folks basically settings. So right now, like I said, we're still in early days. We haven't gotten to the point where somebody who wants to just get this cart and download like a template with all of the best settings, kind of like you can with, say, like the RetroTINK scalers and stuff like that. Yeah, you just download. Here's a config file that has like the best settings for every game.
Or like a script that you just run and it automatically loads everything.
It's obvious to me that we're going to get there, because this file that sits on your SD card called saruconfig.txt, that's where you do things like set the language, you know, between 0, which is Chinese, and 1, which is English. And that's where you have per game settings, and where it takes like the serial number of the game, you know, and then you tell it how fast you want it to run. So there's speed settings. Timing is an issue with the Saru, and that's what basically leads to compatibility issues, is either how fast or slow, like Dan was saying. So depending on the game, there are fixes for each game. Most games may not have an issue running faster, but like Dan said, some expect to run at a specific speed and they need that. So that's where it's really down to the community. Not too unlike the Satiator. When you think about like the fact that the Satiator was in beta for like a year and folks were, you know, testing every game and reporting back to Professor Abrasive. But with that, it was like one guy handling all of those fixes and everybody could just like report back to him in a Discord server. This project is kind of like everywhere. It's just kind of decentralized, you know.
To be fair to Professor Abrasive though, a lot of the stuff actually worked out the gate, even like Homebrew and hacks and stuff.
He waited a really long time to release the Satiator. Folks were even getting impatient, I would say. But by the time he released it, you know, most of the compatibility issues were worked out. Not all, but most of them. And I should say for the record, Satiator, from the dawn of time, you know, has not had a proper in-game reset, right? In-game soft reset back to menu. There was a workaround where you flashed an AR cart. You would basically just sacrifice one of your action replay carts and flash it so that if that was inserted, you could do the hook would be present in order for you to do a soft reset, right? The folks at the Cafe Alpha and Private Eye, the folks that do Sudo, they created the Satiator Menu Kai, and that has the ability to do soft reset. So that's great. But again, these are features that have been added by the community to this product, right? So the same thing goes with the Saru. Saru does not have proper in-game soft reset back to menu. However, I know YZB, who's the dude who did one of the Castlevania translations. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
He has
Chinese Saturn fan.
Yes. He has a working soft reset back to menu custom firmware that's in a private testing stage, and it's not available to the public. But when that comes out, then yeah. So start plus ABC basically takes you back to the CD menu, and it behaves like whatever game you last loaded is in the CD player. Now, if in the Saru menu, though, I should say if you, let's say you have a Satiator installed in your Saturn, right? So I have a Satiator in my Saturn, and my first concern was, do I need to take this out? Is the, are they going to fight? Right. Well, because it's a cart, and the cart takes boot priority, essentially the Saru gets the first, the Saru gets first shake at boot. So basically, Saru boots up and you get select game or system CD player. If you choose system CD player, it passes the baton to like the next in line. So if Satiator is installed, the Satiator takes over the CD block, right? So now you're into the Satiator. And then if you want to go out to the CD menu from there, then you would do it from the Satiator. That's how you can have both of those things installed. Apparently, there are compatibility issues with Saru and Fenrir. But those are solved via a ribbon cable that you can get, basically like a custom ribbon cable where one of the pins are like removed. Or maybe you can just scratch off the trace on your own ribbon cable and fix
it.
Sounds totally legit. But again, these are the kind of answers that I get when I'm talking to these engineering type folks. They're like, what's the problem? All you have to do is just like, you know, destroy your hardware to fix the problem, you know, no big deal, right?
I think a lot of people, like we were saying before, just like, you know, this isn't this is a hobbyist project. I think we said it tons of times before, where it's like, this is like what the Mister was when I first started. Don't expect like an all-in-one cartridge solution, but for what it is, it's really cool. It's really good so far. I really enjoy what I'm seeing. There's still a lot of issues though. If you want to play homebrew or fan translations.
Yeah, tell us about that, because I haven't tried playing homebrew and fan translations, but you have. What was your, how did you fare with that?
So basically with the homebrew stuff, it was really hit or miss. And by hit or miss, I mean mostly miss. Like I was only able to get two homebrew projects working. It was the Garfield Master and I believe was the other one.
Yeah, Grandia?
Garfield Master's that's a fan translation. The fan translation I was able to get. The two fan translations working was Bulk Slash and Stellar Assault. So I don't know what Dan and the gang did, but that one worked perfectly every time.
Called a little magic.
Yeah, couldn't get Soccer Wars. Yeah, couldn't get the Soccer Wars to go. I couldn't get Grandia to go. I couldn't get a few of the other ones to go. I couldn't get Cottons to go.
Disappointing.
Yeah, Grandia is very time sensitive, though. I remember like Trekkie's saying that game is just like constantly streaming data. It's very time sensitive. If you had a bad drive or if you burned it to bad media, it wouldn't play. So that almost doesn't surprise me that Grandia wouldn't work. These are things that are going to have to be ironed out in the configuration file. And there are folks that are like dedicated themselves to doing that. Not me. I just want to download the thing and just drop it into my folder. But I mean, you know, like there are folks in the community, like that dude from Brazil, who are like working tirelessly to try to like support this thing and find the best settings for folks. So, you know, Daytona, there was an issue with Daytona and they fixed that.
Said the homebrew stuff is kind of if you want that for the translation and the homebrews, not at where it's at right now, but the thing is that it's getting better, it's improving, but all the retail stuff works pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the retail, everyone's gonna be happy with how the retail goes. Mm-hmm. So like if you just want to play retail games, it's probably perfectly fine. I had no issue. Like I tried all the retail games, there's nothing that was giving me issues. I haven't tried like some of the ones like Grandia, but why would I play that retail? I can't understand it. So but for the most part, even Cotton, when it's just the regular one, regular Cotton 2, not translated, that worked as well. So definitely should wait on that if that's what you want to get it for. But retail games, go ahead if you want to hop into that. But like I said, you got to keep your expectations to a point, people.
Like that's why I think that aside from like all the potential that we see, and like Knight, for example, is specifically interested in the potential for like USB debugging, you know, and being able to send the board has traces for USB, just like the dev carts. And like, it's right over on this side. It has the footprint, and you know, the idea is like, if you could program that STM, like the microcontroller, you could essentially have this emulate, you know, Netlink modem capability and just have all the data sent out via USB, you know, from the cart. That would be amazing, right? So it's like, we all see a lot of potential in this cart, but where I think the reason why it's doing so well, or why so many people out there have been willing to take a chance on it, is because it's $100, you know, like for the board, it's basically like $105 shipped. And it's plug and play. A lot for $105 shipped, a lot of folks are even printing, 3D printing their own housings, right? And so that I think is really the draw for a lot of folks, is that this is what we've been waiting for, if we're being honest, right? Like a cart, an actual EverDrive, right, is what everybody would love to have. You can't have that really with the PlayStation. Yeah, they had those early models with the GameShark port, like the parallel port on the back, but then not you have to like pay extra just to find a PlayStation that has that, right? But
not,
I mean,
to mention that the PSIO was hot trash, so that's always
exactly
awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, on Shadow top Mask of all that it. On top of all that, the actual device is not great,
and
then
you have
what
to solder it anyway, so yeah. You have to solder it in to get it working anyway, so it doesn't even work in that aspect.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the Nintendo 64 obviously had an upper hand there very early on because it's a cart-based system, so EverDrives have been around forever for the Nintendo 64. With Saturn, you know, we've had a number of options, but they've all kind of been like workarounds, either replacing your CD-ROM drive or using the VCD cart slot. But this is kind of like what everybody's always been wanting, is just a cart that'll go up in the cart slot and just be everything you need it to be, the RAM cart. Oh, we didn't talk about the per game save. That thing is amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, you don't even have to think about it anymore. Your brain is turned off. Don't even, saves are irrelevant now. Don't, like, take your save battery, find the nearest garbage can, throw that away.
Okay,
don't,
but it is,
no,
there's a caveat.
I
mean, there's a caveat
still
that
want
I,
a
yeah.
working date and time in your Saturn, so I don't throw out your battery.
Just date and time when you have saves.
Yes, I mean, do want to talk about this, though.
Marie does.
Like, let's talk about this, because there is a bit of a caveat that I want to mention. Okay, so the way that this works is, this has an internal memory and a backup cart memory on it, okay? And it never looks at or cares about your Saturn's true internal memory. It never touches it, okay? You can fire up Nights into Dreams, and it will create an internal save, a virtual internal save on the cart, right? And then you can fire up Sega Rally, and it'll create a virtual internal save. And if you look at your internal memory, all you have on your internal memory is Sega Rally, right? But then when you boot up Nights into Dreams, you have a copy, you have a Nights into Dreams save, but you have nothing else, right?
It sounds like what Pseudo Saturn Kai does now.
Except for the Pseudo Saturn. I think Pseudo Saturn Kai.
For the satiator version of Pseudo Saturn Kai.
And Rings, right? They did the per game save. But the thing is, they did kind of like write data to your internal memory and then pull it back off, right? This does not touch your internal memory. For example, really? I have a bunch of saves on my Saturn that I got there because I used the satiator, right? When I fire up the satiator, it sees the internal memory and it can load those saves, right? But when I boot up the Saru and I boot up a game on the Saru, I don't see those saves at all. All I see is what's written to the Saru, right?
Intercepting the save calls or something like that? Like, what's going on there?
It's completely bypassed. It's just completely bypassing
and
routing
wild.
Everything to the cart. Now, if you want to boot up a game on the Saru, but you want to use your internal save, you'll boot the game holding Z. You'll basically press Z to boot the game, and then it actually defers to your internal save, and you can save and update your save on your internal save. The issue is, how do you get that internal save to the Saru cart to back it up? That's the issue.
That's the same thing. Yeah.
There is a janky. There is like this. I don't know. There is. I don't. I keep using the word janky, and I don't mean to use that like in a derogatory manner. There is a memory manager tool that's available, and I'm showing it here on the screen. But it is completely in Chinese, and it's also, you know, just like I forget who made it. ZNY 1982. Anyway, so it is all in Chinese, and you know, use it at your own risk if you understand what you're doing, because you might wipe your saves or whatever. But the fact is, like, you can back up from the quote unquote virtual internal memory. You can back up like your night save, right, to the cartridge memory, quote unquote backup cartridge memory that's also emulated on this cart, right? And now when I boot up Sega Rally, I can back up that save to the cart memory. So now when I look at the cart memory, I see all of my saves in one place, right, backed up. But whenever I use my quote-unquote virtual internal memory, all I ever see is the one save for the game that I happen to have booted up. So it's real, yeah. And again, none of that touches your internal memory at all. So yeah, the only dilemma that I've run across is like, how do I get my, let's say, Sega Touring Car save, which I got records and stuff like that for our community challenge, and that's probably like the best I ever did on that game. How do I get that backed up to this? I don't know.
That's the issue.
I don't know because
what's the format it saves it in? Is there any like BUP?
It dumps everything out to BUP.
Oh, that's easy. Because you just take the same thing with the satiator, dump it with that. That's all BUPs as well, and then just throw it on the cart then.
Okay. Yeah, but I haven't. Okay, so I don't know if it actually saves them to individual BUPs or I'll have to.
You can. It does. You just have to select one at a time, but you can do it that way.
Okay.
Now I'm going to do that. So that way, that's an easy way to back all that up. So I can. I actually backed up a ton of my stuff that way. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Frogbull asks, "How will Psycho Mantis be able to read your memory save with the Saru?"
Oh,
he won't. Play any games.
There's some hints there.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah. So like, it's cool. Like, it's actually really cool, like, not having to ever worry about your saves like being lost. And at the same time, I don't know, I've had saves on this OEM backup cart become corrupted because the pins were not in contact as they should have been, you know, like I pop the cart in and I try to save or try to load something off of there. But what I don't realize is that one of the pins is not in proper contact. So even though the cart is recognized, everything that's being written to it is becoming corrupted.
Getting messed up.
And so that's what I'm worried about, is like, could that happen with this? You think everything's okay until a year later down the road, you try to, you try to pull your save or play an old save and you find out that it's corrupted. That happened to me recently. I don't know.
I mean, that's going to be different because it's going to be saving it directly to a file. So you're really going to be worried about your SD card corrupting, because you could just mess up with any way. Yeah. It's going to be a safe file. And so even if it's like, you know, corrupts on the hardware level when you're playing it in real time, it'll still be saved as a file. So just grab that and restart it. So
it's a really cool feature and it works seamlessly. Yeah. Out of the box, right, without any kind of setup, without even thinking about it, you have per game save working from the get go.
Don't even think about it.
And then, like I say, you can back up all those per game saves to a larger dump. To a larger repository of saves where you can see them all in one list, and you can kind of like take those and copy them back. You know, so you could have multiple saves for a game. So this is awesome in that way.
Yeah, so like I said, there's a lot of options.
Well, this has been a great discussion about Saru, but maybe
we have to wrap on the show for sure. Yeah, we have to thank our patrons.
We have to switch over to some Snatcher later, or Snatcher.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let me take the browser down, and then I'll go ahead and read off our patron supporters, which actually made this possible. So thanks, shouts to our patron supporters who allowed us to be able to get this and test it out for you and write it up. We've got A Murder of Crows, Blue Moon 95, Casual Seth, Cerulean, Chris Piper, Chris 1997XX, Daniel Fredrickson, David Zaney, Derek Pascarella, A-Team, Emerald Nova, Fat Drunk Friend Otaku, Gem Clasher Rank, Ian Keg, Jay Hersey, Johannes Fetz, Lion Wing Publishing, Memphis, Normal Guy, Nutrageous, Robert Ramsey, Rowan Dinkt, Sega Steve, Stone Man, The Sega Guys, and Young Money Swee. We appreciate all you guys for supporting us at the $10 and up level, and we continue to read your names on the show. If you want your name read on the show, just support us at the $10 and up level. But if you can't do that, that's totally fine. You know, any amount of contribution is great, and if you can't support us financially, then just join our Discord and become a part of the conversation. There's a bunch of new people showing up almost every day. Exactly, so... it's nice anytime we get someone new that we can welcome. Shadow Mask is streaming The Net, one of my favorite 90s movies, nice. VHS 1995, starring Sandra Bullock at 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's Twitch on channel, Twitch. Twitch.tv/Shadowbot_87. Check it out. Links in the chat here.
In chat. Yeah.
Yep. And thanks all 70 folks at one time for joining us on the stream.
Exactly. Yeah, didn't it get higher than that at one point?
I think it got 71?
70, no, yeah. it never hit 80. It got 79.
Oh, 79. 79. It was up 79. Pat was really worried he was going to have to
show the pokies. That shirtless Pat.
No pokies this time.
Pokies. Next stream, maybe.
Pokey Pat.
Thank you everyone for watching.
Thanks,
and,
everybody.
And we hope everybody has a good night, and stick around to watch Pat. Snatcher. Pat play his beloved Snatcher.
Stick around. Right, Pat is going to play his totally legal, and I'm not saying that sarcastically, like totally legal rip of Snatcher that he bought at Game On Expo on camera. Yep, the exact one. So stick around. Don't leave. Pat's going to grab the stream right after I roll credits. This has been Saturn Dave, Dantrax, and Trainoco reminding you that you must play Sega Saturn, and we will catch you in a minute in the stream.